Blessing. Glad you guys are here. Thanks for joining us. We're starting a brand new series today called God Why. Don't we have some big whys, right? You're like, why God? Why'd you create cats? Why God? I don't understand. I'm just kidding. Don't send me your emails. It was just a joke. We got some serious whys. They're like, why am I going through this? Why do I have this difficulty? Why am I struggling with my kid, right? Why, you know, is the economy like it is? You know, why won't you let the Texans win the Super Bowl? Big questions. Why do bad teams happen to good pastors? You know what I'm saying? Big question. So I'm just kidding. I'm just actually pretty good this year, actually. But no, the truth is, though, we all have some whys. And so, you know, maybe for you, you're really going through a difficult time. I want to encourage you to be here for this whole series. We're going to work through that together and talk about pain and suffering and, you know, why this has happened in my life. We're going to deal with that kind of stuff. But today I want to do something I think is important for the whole series. I want to do a message that's a little unique, and today I don't want to preach to you, I want to minister to you. And so, because many people today struggle with this question, God, why do I feel so alone? Why do I feel so alone? I feel like I'm the only one going through this. I feel like I'm the only one dealing with this. And so you can be in a crowded room and feel alone. And so I want to talk about this today because this is such an important part of how you can find healing in your life and transformation. It does not happen alone. It happens in community. Community with one another. So we're going to unpack that today. I'm excited about this. But if it's okay with you, I just want to start with prayer. I just want to pray for you that God would use this message just to penetrate to our hearts. Lord, I thank you, God, for your word today. Lord, I believe this is a word from you, God, and I pray you'd use this, Lord, to teach us, to minister to us, Lord. Change us from the inside out through the power of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So today's message is called, God, why do I feel so alone? You know, it says in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, we know God said this in the Garden of Eden. It's literally perfect. There is no sin in the world, and yet there was still something that wasn't good. Isn't that interesting? There's no sin, but still something that's not good, and that is that he's like, Adam, you're not supposed to be alone. You're better with someone else, right? Now, we know before this, God has already had Adam name all the animals. And so, God, you know, he's like, that's a really big monstrosity. We'll call that a hippopotamus, you know, and there's a lady hippopotamus and a man hippopotamus, and there's a, you know, man giraffe and a woman giraffe. And so he goes through all of these, you know, do you have a partner? And then finally Adam realizes everyone had a partner but me. And so God says, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. So then God gives Adam some heavenly melatonin, knocks him out. And so then he takes a rib from Adam and he creates Eve. And then God, you know, he wakes up and God presents him a naked woman, which is one of my favorite parts in Scripture. And so he presents him, you know, this is how you know he was an Aggie. He went for the apple when there's a naked woman in front of him. I don't know what's wrong with him, but anyway, sorry, I digress. Anyway, so the point is this, is that he's got Adam and Eve are together. God marries them. This is the first time we see this happen in Scripture. And so he marries them. They're now a couple, and they're married. And he says, hey, there's only two trees you can't eat from. One is the tree of knowledge. The other one's the tree of life. And so basically one's like eternity, and one's like all good and evil. So you can't eat from either of those. Eventually, Satan shows up in form of a serpent, slithers up, talks to Eve. The first sign that you shouldn't talk to someone is if it's a snake. Just let you know, okay? If a snake starts talking to you, run, okay? So he said, hey, you should try this tree, the fruit over here. It's really good. You're going to like it. And well, no, but God said not to. And, you know, Eve says, oh, no, but you know, God said that, you know, but it won't hurt you. I mean, you'll just be like God, you know? And so she falls for this. She brings Adam into the whole thing. They both fall for this. They eat of this fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Now they're hiding from God. It says in Scripture that God, during the cool of the day, came to walk through the garden with him. That gives us a good idea of God's intent as to why we're created. He's like, I created you so I can hang with you, so I can walk with you. I can be your God. You can be my people. He says this multiple times in Scriptures, but right here we see an example of this. And so, but now there's something between them and God, and they feel this shame. Now, how do we know they felt shame? Because they were embarrassed. They were naked. And so God shows up and says, Adam, Eve, where are you? We're hiding. Why are you hiding? Because we're naked. Who told you were naked? And so did you eat from the tree of good and evil? Well, yeah, we did. So God says, oh, man, you know, you blew it. Like, we had everything perfect here, and I was hanging with you, and you guys were hanging with each other, and you had this perfect community with you together and then together with me, and you blew that, right? So then God kicks him out of the garden. But let me explain why. God kicks him out of the garden because there was another tree there that if they ate from it, it was a tree of life that would be eternal, and it would lock in sin eternally. So God was like, I don't want you to be locked into this sin state, so I'm going to kick you out of the garden. That was not God being mean. It was saying, I'm going to get you out of here so you don't mess it up further so I can then bring my son to fix everything. Does that make sense? So that's why God's doing this. Now, in this whole process, there's something else going on that we oftentimes miss in Scripture, but it's all throughout Scripture, and that is that when God created Adam and Eve, now we know that he created them now, what I just explained to you is to have a relationship, is so he can love us and we can love him, and that's what we are here to do, is to love God. That's our purpose. Our number one purpose is to love God. There's all kinds of other purposes inside how we love God, but that's our number one purpose, right? And for him to love us. But I want to point something out. Let me show you Genesis 1:26. Let's go back. When God created man, he says this, then God said, listen very carefully, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. It's like there was more than one person there. So here we have what we call the doctrine or the theology of the Trinity. The Trinity, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but it's a triune God. It means there's three parts to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see right here at the beginning, when God created man, it wasn't just God the Father, then it was God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. They were all there. And so they're all a part of this. So God is living in community with himself. Now, some of you are like, well, that's really confusing. Well, let me explain it this way. We have one government, right? But we have what? The executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch, right? And so, but it's actually one government. Now, they're supposed to get along better than they're getting along. But the point is that they're one government, right? Now, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit gets along perfectly, but they're three separate yet one God, okay? So think about this. This is really important. You may want to write this down. This is a big deal. This tells me something. God has modeled living in community since the beginning of time. So God himself lives in community. Let me show you another scripture here. Jesus, God sent Jesus into this world. But how did he send him? He sent him in through a family. Again, he's not alone. He has a mother and a father, right? He has a family. Then when Jesus grows up, he eventually launches out to start his own ministry. And when he does that, what's the first thing he does? Oh, he lays out a mission statement. Here's our objectives as our ministry. No, he doesn't do any of that. First thing he does, he gathers a bunch of guys together. He starts his own little youth group. So Jesus, what's the first thing he does? He says, I need community. So Jesus goes from being with God the Father and the Holy Spirit on this earth into a family, then he creates his own community once he launches others. In other words, he's never alone. Now, if Jesus feels the need to always be around others, what makes us think we're going to function without that? Isn't that crazy? Like, he was always in community. In fact, there's this really cool scripture to where, you know, Jesus teaches us how to pray, our Father who art in heaven. He goes through the whole thing about how to pray, right? But did you know that at one point in scripture, John, who's called the beloved disciple, he was like the one that was closest to Jesus. Him and Jesus were like, boom, we were close, man. Him and John were super tight. John says, hey, I actually got to hear Jesus praying to the Father. So John at some point is like, shh, everyone quiet. Shh. Jesus is praying in the next room. Let's listen. So John listens in. And he's writing down what he's hearing Jesus praying to the Father. Now look at Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. This is what he prayed. He's talking to the Heavenly Father. He says this. He says, I'm coming to you. I will not stay in the world any longer, but they are still in the world, they meaning the disciples. Holy Father, keep them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they will be one just as you and I are one. Jesus says, Daddy, I'm about to come home. I'm about to come back and be with you. I'm going to leave my disciples, the community I'm in now, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to leave my earthly community and come back to my heavenly community. At no point is Jesus not in community. Isn't that amazing? But yet we think we can function without being in community. This is crazy. We're supposed to be in community with one another. So what is the answer to loneliness? Well, the Bible makes it really clear. The answer to loneliness is his church. It's what you're doing right now. This is the answer to loneliness. And so, in fact, Scripture says this in Ephesians 2:19, you are members of God's family. You're a part of God's family. You're supposed to be a functioning part of God's family. Now, how many of you have a friend or family member, or maybe you've even said this to yourself before, maybe you thought, I'm a Christian. I don't really need church. I'm good without church. I'm good. Just give me an occasional podcast that's spiritual. No, I'm good. But that's like saying, I'm a member of the NFL. What's the first question you'd ask? You say, oh, well, what team do you play for? Right? And you go, oh, no, I don't play for a team. I'm just a member of the NFL. I think even they would be like, how does that work? Like, I don't think you understand. Like, I guess maybe Roger Goodell, the president of the NFL, could maybe write you a letter saying congratulations, you're a formal member, and give you a little card. But what I would say is maybe you're a member of the NFL, but you're what I call a dysfunctional member, because you're not functioning as a member, because a functioning member in the NFL gets on the field. A functioning member, even those who aren't on the field, did you know, by the way, I know this that this is true, if your team wins a Super Bowl, I've never personally experienced this, but I hear about it anyways, but if your team wins a Super Bowl, did you know the guy who's washing the clothes of the players gets a ring? I love that, by the way. Everyone gets it because they're part of the team. They make the team happen. I love that. But because it tells me, because we always think that, oh, you're only part of the team if you're visible. That's just not true. You may be in the invisible work of God. In other words, like you may be doing something that everyone sees. Oh, but God sees it. And they're good to know that. Maybe you're serving in the capacity and no one sees. I want you to know, God sees you. God sees what you're doing. He's honored by it. You're helping the team win. You realize, can we give it up for our volunteers right now real quick? Can we just do that? You help us win. We couldn't win without you. We couldn't. But my point today is that many people say, well, I have God in nature, or, you know, when I'm fishing or hunting or whatever. And I'm sure you can experience God in those ways too. But you may be a Christian, but you're not a functional Christian. There's just too many one another's in the Bible you can't do on your own. Love one another, care for one another, serve one another, warn one another, encourage one another, admonish one another. All those one another's, you can't do this on your own. The Bible is very clear that if you're going to be a functional, healthy, strong Christian, you need to have a local team you're playing with. So that's really important. So we are members of God's family. Also, it says in Psalm 68, God sets the lonely in families. He puts in families on purpose. Now, some of you are thinking, yeah, the family God gave me, you have no idea how jacked up they are. Well, I understand, but that's because we're all human and we all make mistakes, right? And so, but also, God gives us a family, but also God gives us a spiritual family. So the answer to loneliness is his church. Now, I want to give you three reasons to choose community today. Three reasons that maybe you haven't thought about to choose community. The first is this. I'm going to go through these real quick. Number one, you cannot be truly happy without living in community. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it's very evident in Scripture, as well as, frankly, just longitudinal studies. That just means studies over a long period of time that they've done, that non-Christian organizations have done, have found that one of the biggest keys to happiness is relationships, is you being in friendships with others. It says this in Scripture, Psalms 133, "It is good and pleasant when God's people live together in peace." The word pleasant in the Hebrew language is the word na'im. Na'im means something that brings emotional enjoyment, beauty, or satisfaction. So you will not be satisfied in life without being in relationships with other people. Look what Robert Putnam, this is a Harvard researcher, this is what they found about happiness. He says this, "The single most common finding from a half century's research on life satisfaction, 50 plus years of research on life satisfaction, not only from the U.S., but also around the world, is that happiness is best predicated by the breadth and depth of one's social connections." Wow. You know, we're the most socially connected generation. Technologically, we are. I'm sorry, let me say this again. We're the most technologically connected generation, yet we are the most disassociated, disconnected socially. Social media is a lie. You are actually not really connecting people. What you're doing is you're connecting your lives with someone else. Look how wonderful my life is. I present it that way. And then they present their life, but it's all wonderful and perfect. And we're all a part of this giant social connecting lie. Now, I think you can have genuine connection too, but it rarely happens. Would you agree? We're all sort of presenting ourselves. It's like we're all in this weird reality show that we're creating of ourselves that's not real. Instead, God wants us to actually have true connections with one another. You cannot be truly happy without living in community. Here's another one. Number two, you cannot be truly healthy without living in community. This is really important. Ecclesiastes 4 says, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other person can reach out and help." We need each other. We are healthier when we are connected to one another. This is some research that John Ortberg did. He wrote a book on being socially connected, and this is what he found. This is all true research. He said this, "People, listen carefully, people who are socially disconnected are between 2 and 5 times more likely to die from any cause than those who have close ties to family, friends, and other relationships. Listen. People who have bad health habits like smoking, eating, overeating, elevated blood pressure, and physical inactivity, but who still remain connected, live longer than people who have great health habits but are disconnected. So listen, kids, what I'm telling you is it's better for you to eat Twinkies among friends than kale alone. Tell your moms. This is great news. But so many of us are so health conscious, right? We're so concerned about our health, but yet we're living life alone, and that's the worst thing you can do for your health. We need one another. Someone get excited that we're in church today together. We need each other. We do. Some of you are like, I'm going to go have a Twinkie today. Praise Jesus. So now I want to say this. Join a life group or die. That needs to be our new slogan. You like that? Join a life group. Well, I was going to join a life group or die. What are my choices? I'm going to join a life group, right? The point is this, is that God's word is right. Once again, it's been proven with other studies outside of God's word. I love how God's word gets proven true again and again and again. God's like, we need one another. Jesus himself was with the Father and the Son all the time. When he wasn't, he was with his disciples. And when he wasn't with his disciples, he was back talking to the Father. When he'd leave the Father, he'd go back to talk to the disciples. And when all that was done, he went back to heaven. He never broke community, and neither should we. We need one another. Can I just tell you, this is the reason why church hurt is so popular, because the devil wants it to be popular. Why? Because he wants you to always be hurt and always leaving the church. I'm convinced the issue is not, oh, well, if churches weren't so broken. Well, you know how I can fix it being broken? I need you to leave because you're broken. So get out of here and then we'll be good. The point is we're all broken. Well, I don't like church because it's a bunch of hypocrites. Come on in, there's room for one more. We're all human. And so we're all broken people. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're messed up. Just let them know right now. I know you're messed up. I know stuff on you. You're messed up. But here's the truth. We're all messed up, but we still need each other. You cannot be truly healthy without being in community. And then the last one here, I want to say this is really important. Catch this, because so many of you, man, I want to walk with God. I want to know the Lord. I know you do. That's why you're here. You cannot, would you write this down? You cannot truly be holy without living in community. You can't. What does holy mean? Holy means to be set apart for God's purpose. I want to show you a scripture that maybe you've never seen it or read it this way before. I'm going to read it right, then I'm going to read it wrong to show you how powerful this is. Check it out. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 2, says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You know what it does not say? It does not say, but you are a chosen person, a royal priest, a holy person, God's special possession. Never says that. This is going to sound crazy, but you are set apart together. Amen. Did you catch that? Yeah. So the way that I'm set apart for God's purpose is not just me and God. It's me, God, and you. Because here's what happened for me. When I was younger, people came along in my life and said, I see a gift in you. I think God's hand is on your life. I think this and that. And they began to speak into me. How many of you guys have people do that in your life? They encouraged you. They helped lead you into God's direction for your life. Oh, let me ask you something. Think back to the time when you felt the closest to God. Maybe it was when God came alive to you in such a real way. Do you remember, maybe you had tears running down your face and you're like, I could just feel the presence of God right now and he's moving in my life and there was a brokenness and repentance and it was like God was just cleaning you up and changing you. How many of you guys can think of a time like this? I go back to high school for me. How about you? Was there a moment, I remember in high school, I'm crying out, I was like, God, I just want to live for you. God, I thank you for your forgiveness, for your grace. God, I know you have a plan for my life. I'm broken before God. And I remember, can you go back in your mind to where you were when God came alive to you like that? I bet if you remember right where you are, go back to the physical place you were, when you're experiencing God in a fresh new way, tears running down your face, I bet if you're honest, there were people with their arms around you. So the closest I can get to God is almost always involves other people being with me. The closer I get to God, the closer I get to other people that are serving him too. The closer I get to other people serving him, the closer I also get to God. That's the Garden of Eden. Adam's there, Eve, they're together, they're close, but also with God. It's not one or the other. It's all the above. Did you know that one day when Jesus comes back to take us home, we're all going to go to heaven, but then you know what he's going to do? They're going to rewrap earth with the Garden of Eden again. How cool is that? He's saying, I'm getting it back to why I made you, which is to walk through the garden and be your God and you be my people and we all hang together. That's God's plan from the very beginning. Your most spiritual moments are alongside other people. Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. Don't let the devil talk you into why you should be on your own. You know why he wants you on your own? Because the devil's walking around like a roaring lion. And you know who he picks on? The sheep that wanders off. They're easy pickings for him. He's like, oh, this is just too easy. This is just as easy. I can take you out so easy. There's no one to protect you. No one to warn you. I just want to warn you. I really do. God wants to change your life, but you're not going to do it with just you and God. It's going to be you, God, and some other people. God wants us in community with him and each other. It says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Look, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Even Batman had Robin. The Avengers are together. The point is, I don't care what your superpower is, you still need one another. Does that make sense? We all need each other. Next week, I'm going to continue this. We're talking next week about God. Why has this happened to me? Maybe you have a real bad situation you're facing. You have no idea what I'm going through. Well, I may not know, but God does. So we're gonna walk through why God has allowed some things to happen to you, or maybe the situation you're currently in. But the reason why today is about community is because you will not be transformed by information alone. We need each other. You know when my marriage gets good? When I hang out with people who have good marriages? Do you know when my disciplines are better? When I hang out with people who are disciplined? Does that make sense? Like whoever you hang out with, you just become like them. It's really true. Have you ever tried to criticize someone into changing? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody married in here? Right? We do that, don't we? We're like, I'm going to just tell you, you need to do this. You need to do that. And does it work? No. Never works, right? And so anybody have teenagers? You just tell, I keep telling them, right? And they're like, oh, they're tired of hearing it. And so we try to criticize someone into change. Doesn't work. But you know what does work? Modeling. Watching someone live a different way, and I'll look and go, huh, they seem to be happier, and it seems to be working better. Maybe I should do that. So what really changes me is community. Being around other people, like-minded, honoring God makes me want to honor God. You want to clean up your language? You don't have to worry about your words. Just hang out with people who have clean language, and yours will just get cleaned up. Does that make sense? Like you just tell me the area you want to change in, get around people who are living a changed life in that area, and you'll simply live better because it's caught more than it's taught. It's really true. Last thing I wanted to say is this. Where are you hurting? Where are you hurting? Here's what I've learned that we do in church is we have an area that we can't fix on our own. We tried and we tried and we tried. And if it gets really out of control, we start to go into hiding. I don't want anyone to know about this. So we hide it, right? And if it's still not getting control, what do? We just kind of slowly drop out of church. Then no one knows what's going on, and we just think, oh, I'll fix someone. I'm too embarrassed. I don't want anyone to know. But I'm going to show you what the Bible says. This is radical, guys. This is crazy. This is something we don't see in today's church today, but this is the first century church. This is what they did. Actually, the way to fix your struggle is to bring it to community. You're like, there is no way. I didn't say go on Facebook and tell everyone. But there should be two or three people who actually got the goods on you that really know what you're dealing with, what your struggle is, and you know what their struggle is, and you can pray for one another, encourage one another, get advice, point them in the right direction. They can point you in the right direction. When they fall, you can get up. You can help them up. When you fall, they can help you up. You see, that's the way God designed us, is that when I'm having a weak moment, I need to rely upon your strength. When you're having a weak moment, you need to rely on my strength. That's community. Look what the scripture says. It says in Ecclesiastes 4, though one person may be overpowered by another, two people can resist one opponent. A triple braided rope is not easily broken. When you got two or three people that are in your corner, there's nothing you can't overcome. But when you got something you're dealing with on your own, good luck. Or, you know, I like the way Dr. Phil used to say, you know, how's that working for you? It just doesn't work, does it? It just we're broken. We need one another. We can't do it on our own. It says in Romans 12, 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. You know what we do on social media? We do the opposite. We rejoice with someone who's mourning. We're like, nah, sucker. We literally are happy when someone's losing. It's sick. It's so jacked up. The Bible says, no. When you're winning, I want to cheer with you. And when you're losing, I want to mourn with you. That's called empathy. It's caring for one another. And here's the power of community. Romans 15, 7 says, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. See, when I share my real dirt with someone and I get that vulnerable and then they actually still love me and still accept me, I get to see how Christ feels about me. That's why it's so transforming. You're like, did you hear what I just said? And they're like, yeah, I heard it. I still love you. You're going to be okay. God still loves you. It just kind of puts skin around God, doesn't it? And you're like, so you heard all that, and you still think I'm okay? Yeah. You're going to be okay. See, we all need that kind of radical acceptance. And that's what the church is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a spiritual show to see who looks the best. Jesus put it this way. He said, hospitals aren't for the healthy, they're for the sick. It's like churches for people who are broken and hurting and messed up. And if you'll come with all that brokenness, God can do something great. I mean, here at Church Unlimited, we got people who are partying, crazy, wild, came out of the wildest lifestyle, slept with everybody, did drugs, sold drugs, crazy, all this kind of stuff, in trouble with the law. And I'm just talking about our staff. I'm not even talking about everyone else. The point is this, we're all real, aren't we? But what God can do when we come together, when we love each other as we are. I'm not saying sin's okay, no. I love you enough to meet you where you are and then to help you make those changes. There's power in that. Isn't that good? There's a true story of a seminary professor from Europe. He taught the Bible every day. I mean, this guy obviously knew God and knew the Word, and I mean, you can't get a whole lot more spiritual than being a seminary professor. This guy's name was Hans, and Hans' wife, Enid, kind of old names I know, this is years ago. Enid, his wife, passed away a little too early, frankly. She was pretty young, and he was devastated. I mean, his whole world ended when she died. I mean, he loved her. This was the love of his life, and he was so depressed, and he just sat in his room alone. He lost his appetite. He couldn't even eat. He wouldn't even leave his house. The seminary president happened to be friends with Hans and two of his other colleagues that were friends with him. They were all buddies. They kept calling, and he wouldn't answer the phone. Finally, they went to his house, just knocked on the door, just showed up. And they were like, hey, we're worried about you. And he was like, yeah, I'm not doing good. He said, well, can we come in? Like, yeah, come on in. They came in. They could just tell physically he looked terrible. I mean, he's not eating. He's not taking care of himself. And they said, what's going on? He said, man, you know, ever since my wife died, why would God let that happen to me? And why am I going through this? And I feel so alone. In fact, he said, I don't even pray anymore. And then he said this. He said, I'm not even sure if I believe in God anymore. Wow. Seminary professor. And the president, who's a dear friend, said, well, here's what we're going to do then. We're going to believe for you. And we're going to show up every day and pray for you. And every day, for weeks on end, they showed up and prayed for Hans. Until one day, several months into this, they showed up to pray for him. And he answered the door and he said, you don't have to pray for me anymore. Now you can pray with me. He said, I got my faith back. We want to help you with your struggles. We want to help you with the whys. We're going to do that. But please, don't just get information. No, get community. Because we want to love you back to life today. So please hang in here for the whole series. Not just 1 or 2 weeks. No. Because then you don't get community doing that. God wants you to be a part of his church and to find out just people just like you with the same struggles you have, and they can help you just like you can help them. Would you bow your heads with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? Would you take a moment to pray? Maybe your prayer today is something like this, to say, God, I have been trying this on my own and it is not working. Welcome to the club. We've all done that. I want to encourage you today to make a prayer something like this. God, I commit to you that I'm going to reach out and get connected. I don't know whether that's a life group or serving or whatever. It could just be you reaching out to 3 people around you saying, hey, I just need to get together more and just talk. I just need to have someone to help me through this situation I'm facing. Just make a commitment to community. Say, God, I know if Jesus did not do life alone, why am I thinking I can do that? So, Lord, I commit to you to getting a community today. Don't put it off. You're just putting off your own healing when you put it off. Get in community. You know, David actually said to God at one point, he said, God, I just need you. I'm so lonely. David said that. And then it was right after that, about that time that when David felt alone, he called out to God, that God not only connected with him, but then God brought him these men in his life. David called them his mighty men. I think all of us need some mighty men and mighty women in our lives. Ladies, do you have some mighty women? These are the women that they're like, I know you didn't ask me to show up. I don't care. I'm going to show up. I'm going to knock on your door. Girl, you can get out of that house. We're going to go out right now. We're going to talk. We're going to go get a Coke. They won't let you stay on your own. That's a mighty woman of God in your life. How many have someone like that? You need someone like that. How about men? You know, I've got some mighty men in my life. They will not let me wallow in my pain. They're like, nope, we're going to get you. We're going to come over. We're not going to leave you alone until you get things straight. I need some mighty men in my life. That's the power of God's church. We all need that in our lives. Make that commitment. Today, if you've never given your life to Christ, God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you and me. Christ paid the price for our sins, and he rose again from the grave, proving that he's God. Now he waits for you to receive him. You can pray this prayer right now across all of our campuses, those watching online, those in our prison ministry. Pray this prayer with me. Just say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, at all of our campuses, would you just lift your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ? Hold your hand high right now. There's hands going up all across our churches right now. Thank you. Right here at Broadcast, we see your hands right now in Stone Oak and Rodfield. Hold those hands high all the way in the back there at Portland. Praise God. Hold those hands high. Thank you. Thank you, Rockport Fulton. Praise God. Thank you, Padre Island. Hold those hands high. Those online, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text, my hand's raised, or click hand raised right now. In our prison ministry, hold those hands high. God, thank you for the work you're doing in our hearts and our lives. Thank you for those who just gave their life to you, that have come in community with you. And Lord, help those of us who are already in community with you to come in community with each other, Lord. You did not plan for us to live our lives on our own, but to be connected with one another. Thank you for your word today. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Well, thank you for being here. It's offering time here at Church Unlimited. It's an honor to give to God. If you'll remain seated for just a few moments longer, I do appreciate that. Sometimes I offend people. I didn't mean to do that the other day, and I was like, either stay seated or get out. I wasn't meaning it that way. I meant, let's honor God's house. If you work and need to slip out for a job, we respect that. But everyone else, stay seated, please. Would you do that? Let's honor God's house. And it's an honor to be here. But, you know, during our offering time, we talk about some of the missions and ministries that we do, and this particular day, I want to mention, we just got back, a crew just got back from Mexico. We do missions around the world, but wouldn't it be crazy for us to have all these missions around the world but not have something right down the street? I mean, right here, we've got one of the most impoverished countries in the world in Mexico. Well, we actually do minister there multiple times a year. Please check out this video. love it. Well, so this is Pastor James. He's a dear friend, and he was just like you, came to church each week, and then God got a hold of him in a powerful way. He sold his business and came on staff here at Church Unlimited. You've been doing these Mexico trips for years with your family.
Yeah, we started in 2017.
Yeah, and then you brought the church in and got us involved too. And it's a wonderful thing we get to do it. You had kind of a really cool situation happen this last time. You guys just got back just what, a month ago?
Yeah, a month ago.
Yeah, and so tell us what just happened. This is really cool.
So our houses take 3 days to build. And on our last day, one of our final processes is to put stucco on the house, and which requires cement, sand, and water. But in Mexico, sometimes the water just gets shut off and there's no explanation why, and there's no one to call. You just don't have water. Mm-hmm. So as I looked at our missionary that we work with, Jorge, I said, Jorge, what are we going to do for water? And he said, I don't know. I've never had any anything like that happen before. And we had a pastor from a previous build who jumped in the middle before we could even come up with a solution, got a hold of her church, got a hold of the people that we have built for previously last October, and they went into action and brought us water in a vehicle that was from 30 miles away in the town of Jimenez. And we were incredibly blessed by that, but we didn't know where the water was coming from. We said, well, where did y'all get water since Acuna has no water right now? They said, we got it from the river. The same place you baptized our daughters from the last trip.
I love that. Praise God.
God's in the details.
I love it. Just know when you give here at Church Unlimited, you're giving to missions. You're giving to ministry happening not only here but around the world. And so I love the fact that we are ministering right here in Mexico, which is just down the street, essentially, from where we are, and we love that. So thank you for giving. Thank you for helping make all of this happen and more. Let's pray and ask God to bless this offering. Lord, we thank you, God, for the privilege to give. Thank you, Lord, for literally homes that are being built. And Lord, we know we're not just giving them a home. We're giving them hope. We're bringing them Christ. I thank you, God, that as a church, we can support these great works happening. Thank you, God, today as we give, we're helping missions and ministry happen, not only here, but around the world. We pray your blessings over this offering. Lord, before we go spend one dime with our family on going out to eat, we want to first honor your house and thank you that we get to give something. Lord, you have blessed us. May we be a blessing now. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Pastor?